Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately. Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
Not doing too bad after that little crack episode I had. I'm not on crack.
Well, I beg to differ.
Not anymore.
After you crack, does it feel good? Like it's
It does feel better, I must say.
Awesome.
What was that? Did you hear that?
Yeah, that's...
Oh, okay.
My tech that's support that's line. That's
text support.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So it does alleviate some pressure.
It mildly feels better, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Temporary, of course.
If you were here for the pre-show, which you're not if you're listening to the podcast.
Right, but I'll make sure that that's in.
That's what it sounded like.
Crackle, pop.
Sound like a piece of 2x4 snapping.
No. It's time for the Rice Krispies Show.
Rice Krispies Show. So what's been going on with you this week, Big JD?
Oh, it's just been a crazy, hectic, busy, wild week.
You probably recorded
in the land of Big JD, huh?
Probably recorded an album of some kind.
Actually, I've got a few full studio CDs on the go that I think my new bass player Joe is going to partake in laying down some bass tracks on. That would be really nice. Cool. More studio demo stuff, but it alleviates me from having to do the bass tracks on there.
Yeah, that's easy.
And we get some real bass. I like to call him the Geezer Butler of blues.
Wow.
Because
he's that good.
It's pretty incredible.
He's a Black Sabbath influence.
He's a lot of things influenced. Lots of good rock and roll and other things. And but I mean, it's just he really fills up the tunes. I like that.
Fills up the tunes. But he's not too busy though, is he?
I wouldn't say too busy. Not too busy for me. The more the merrier, I say. As long as it's done right,
right,
then you can fill her up. That's what I say.
Like the John Paul Jones School of Bass Playing.
Like the gas station. Just fill her up.
I can't afford to fill it up these days.
Not anymore.
No.
And to boot, they make the tanks bigger, I think.
To boot.
What's up with that?
They don't put the tank in the boot.
My gas tank isn't small, I'll tell you that.
Well, no.
Gone are the days that it would, you know, back in the day when I started driving, it was like, $10, $15 tops to fill up.
Back in the day, I used to be able to fill my tank for $10.
Yeah, did you ever think that we'd be saying that at some point in time? Well, back in the day when, you know, or when I was a kid, blah, blah, blah.
I hate it. The whole, you just hear your parents, everything you say. Did I just say that? Why?
Oh, I know. I feel that all the time when I say shut the light off or close the fridge or turn the heat down.
And you don't even have kids. Things.
Yeah, right.
You just have a wife.
Yeah. I'm the kid of the family.
Well, apparently not.
I'm yelled at and beat up all the time.
She disciplines you, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Constantly.
Does she use her hands or...
Like that. Discipline.
Oh, yeah. You gotta love it.
That's our thing. The leather and the whips and the change and this change. And all the change.
All the change. She throws change at Big JD.
She takes all my change.
Oh, does she? Yeah.
Yeah. For school parking lot.
Oh, that's all right.
Yep. I'm abused all the way around.
And there's video, right?
Secretly. Hidden cameras and all that sort of thing.
Hidden cameras behind the mirrors.
What's happening in your neck of the woods?
I'm laid off
for the
next
fear
week.
Of sounding like Al Roker.
Well, you sure don't look like Al Roker.
No.
Skin color or otherwise. We were off from December 18th to January 18th. Went back for 1 week and then...
And some more layoff.
And I'm driving to work on Thursday and...
Heard on the radio?
One more week! Windsor Assembly is down for another week.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but the rumor in the plant's like, oh, it could be 2 weeks. And then there's another rumor, 4 to 6 weeks. Come back after the Olympics. All these rumors.
Of 2014.
Ew, the next Olympics, yeah.
And this all fits in with today's show topic, actually, which we'll eventually get into, the Michigan film and television industry,
right around 11:45, we'll get into it.
Yeah, 11:50, 11:55, 60.
1160.
No, I'm sorry I interrupted you there.
That industry is emerging, and it's giving some hope and opportunity to those who have lost their jobs due to cutbacks and layoffs and those kinds of things all over the place. But the auto industry has hit Michigan and areas really hard. So
it's been decimated.
And what are you actually doing at work? When you went back, you was the rutan thing happening or what?
Yeah, we made some rutans.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And that's it? No fiats yet or anything like that? What's going on? Why do they say you're down? No orders?
No, the parts suppliers can't keep up.
That's a good sign, I suppose, yeah, to some degree.
You know, a lot of those parts suppliers, when Chrysler went bankrupt, for one thing, they were told, okay, we don't need three shifts worth of parts from you. We're cutting a shift, and we don't need all of those parts. So all these parts suppliers either couldn't afford to stay in business anymore, or they laid off their third shift.
Right.
And then Chrysler came back and said, hey, we're good.
Yeah,
three shifts. We need some stuff. Three shifts. And the company's like, we just spent millions of dollars to buy out our third shift.
Now, do you think or do you know if any of these companies actually went back into business that went out of business?
Nope, that didn't happen.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
In fact, there's still yet another supplier that's pulling out of Windsor Johnson Controls. They're kind of a multinational trim kind of company. They do usually interior car parts, dashboards, headliners, that kind of stuff. And
I thought only when you get old, you lose your Johnson Control, but...
Hey, Johnson!
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Well, in the supposedly there's 90 people work at this factory, and mm-hmm. we're gonna absorb them.
Oh yeah,
they're gonna be able to work at Chrysler's, but they're gonna be the tier one level hiring because we're
but regular Chrysler job.
Regular Chrysler job, but you're getting paid.
Wow, that's a pretty good thing for them. Regardless of the pay thing, I think it's got to be a good step. I don't know what they were making before and what their benefits were like, but
they're gonna make a dollar less.
Okay, and the benefits package has to be better than Johnson Controls, I would imagine.
I don't think so. I would have to think so, but I'm not positive. I'm not sure what they're...
Plus, they get every other week off. How great is that?
How great thou art.
Anything happening actually out in this area of the world?
Just
Jabbercast studio, is it? Is that where we are?
We are in the Jabbercast studio.
That's right.
And it's right raising teenage boys. It's, you know, there's some
That's
drama.
What it's all about over yeah, here.
It's wacky stuff.
Why don't you set up a camera and do a reality show on your YouTube channel?
You could. You really could. And there's some
people will watch that. People will love that. You'll be a superstar.
Superstar.
Yeah, it'll happen. People watch anything. I do.
I don't want to be a superstar. I don't want my kids to be a superstar, really. it's just not all what it's all cracked up to be.
And what's happening with the... Your Eric has got to be driving at some point soon, too.
Your Eric. No, my Johnson's driving now.
Whoa.
Eric is going to be 16 in June.
Wow.
So he's still 15.
Right, but that's coming right up.
Yeah, slow it down there, buddy.
Okay. I'll edit that out. Dad, I'm going to be driving in a couple months.
Exactly. But
February, March, April, May. Wow, Form, you got to get prepared for that one now.
Yeah, that's right. It's a whole other kid getting in the cars. And having your kid get put on your insurance is not a cheap thing.
No, it wasn't. It probably still is the easier way to go, but it wasn't that great. At the time I was driving, really. I mean, it was, you know, still.
I think my dad paid like $600 for me to be driving a car that.
Yeah, and that's about like what it costs for us for insurance right now. Something like that, isn't it? Like $600 for a year or something? Or
might be a grand.
Yeah.
For both of those cars.
Yeah. It would be grand. Well, I probably pay more than that for a bike and a car or whatever, but.
What do you mean?
I don't know how much I pay. I'm going to say I pay at least a grand, but maybe $1,200
okay.
for a year. You know what I mean? For two vehicles.
Because
so.
When the microphones were going off, I said, where do you pay $600 for your insurance? I want that insurance company.
I drive without it.
That could be dangerous.
No, believe me. It's a good thing I have insurance.
Yeah, no doubt.
And straight from the newsroom floor and the walls and the ceiling... It's time for news from around the world, and sometimes out of this world, from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
Let's head. All right, we're here. News, news, news. This week was a pretty news-filled week, I have to admit. Lots of stuff going on.
One thing that I hadn't really seen prior, I'm out of touch, I'm so busy, but Bin Laden claiming the Christmas terror attempt in a new tape, claiming it's his doing.
I thought I heard Bin Laden was dead.
Like, yeah, we hear all kinds of things, I guess.
I mean, but, like this week something came out that said, yeah, Bin Laden's been dead for... ever.
He claims responsibility, appears to be an effort on his part to say, stay relevant, said so-and-so, author of Inside Al-Qaeda, Global Network of Terror. It was that book, I suppose.
That guy knows Bin Laden's dead. It's cool that you can just instill fear in people with some mystical... It could have been anybody. Bin Laden. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a name that's... It probably means evil in...
If he was still around, you'd think he'd be making, maybe not even the cassette tape. I mean, he's done videotapes. Why not make videotapes and say what you want and scare the heck out of the world? He doesn't do any of that anymore. There's that, you know.
Right. And there was that Spanish lawyer where they wanted to see what Bin Laden looked like today.
Right.
So they started with this lawyer in Spain. They started with his face and just kind of.
Why? Why'd they start with him?
Because it was what they felt was the most closest looking to what he.
Why didn't they just use Bin Laden? They've had pictures and video of him
because
from the past.
I think the way they work, they just start with the head shape and whatever, the features that are on the face, and then they put the hair and stuff on it. So they figured this guy was going to be the closest.
How'd the lawyer like that? I wouldn't like that.
That was the whole story. He was really pissed, and I think he's going to get some cash. Well, he's a lawyer.
And of all people to do it, yeah, let's do it to a lawyer
who knows
the law and can sue us. And that's intelligent. That's as intelligent as the China, the, what was it, I think last week's show, the Japanese scamming the YouTube or Facebook thing there, prying into Facebook accounts or something.
Japanese.
Chinese. Yeah.
The communist country?
Yeah.
Whereas Japan is, I don't know what they are. They're not as hardline. Which I guess I did want to talk about that whole deal, Google's run-in with China. As far as they accused China of diving into some of their clients' Gmail accounts. And supposedly it's not just Google. They did Adobe and there was other tech companies that had ties with human rights individuals. And the Chinese government hacked into these Gmail accounts. Didn't get a lot of information, but they left the trace that they were there kind of thing. Like, you know, they try to get in, but I suppose when you do that, you leave, you know, like a burglar leaves some clues that he was there.
Or doesn't leave any. Takes whatever. Everything.
Yeah. So China says, you know, and China's response was, any company is welcome to set up shop here in China as long as they follow the law. That's what they said to Google. So they're saying, you know, if they don't want to be here, fine. That's cool. It's our way or the highway, basically, is what China's saying. And our way is nothing to do with individual freedoms and rights. We don't have... That's our.
Well, why should they? Who wants that anyway? Do you want individual freedom and rights? No. Of course not.
Well, coming from where we come from, we just think that's inherent and that's what we deserve and that's what right. But China has a loftier goal. It's the good of the people, not the good of this guy and good of this girl. It's the good of the people.
What they perceive to be the good of all people, based on
some
great.
Well, yeah, it's based on some, you know, Marxist beliefs I know are in there, and the whole, you know, everybody gets a job and everybody works for the good of the country, basically.
Well, some ideas are okay, but there's got to be a better structure there, I think. And what the funniest part is that other nations look down on Western civilization because of the freedom that we have.
Exactly, because they don't think that's a good thing, because it eventually destroys what's within it, that, you know, it eventually gets corrupt and falls apart. Whereas the communist way of thinking, it gets stronger and stronger and builds up the more unity you have. And I can't disagree with it, because, you know, you look at a place like the United States, that's not going to last very much longer, I don't think.
Not forever. But how long is forever? That could be a long time. But the thing is, I think the best thing is finding a common ground between...
A communist ground?
Yeah. a common ground and setting up some type of structure based on that would possibly work better.
I'm not a communist.
They can figure that out.
You're right, and I wish they could figure it out.
Well, communism can be a good thing in theory.
That's what I'm saying. In theory, it's a good thing, and that's what they're basing it on, in theory.
But its practicality is there's always something goes wrong, or there's some type of too much law, too much greed, you know?
Yeah, there's someone who has to be in charge of the communists.
And that's always the problem.
That's usually the person in charge,
like, you know?
Whereas in China, that really hasn't been an issue, I don't think, so much, where the upper people, you know, it's usually one guy that says...
That's his name, I think, isn't it?
One guy, Fu! Chairman Mao.
I wanted to say that more schools are requiring students to learn personal finance.
That's good.
Which is, yeah, I'm sure. It's a great thing.
I wish my kids learned that.
The number of states requiring public high schools to offer a personal finance course rose from 9 to 15 between 2007 and 2009, according to the Council for Economic Education. And 13 states require a personal finance course for graduation, up from 7 in 2007. And many schools elsewhere offer or require such courses. And the U.S. Treasury Department also recently announced a national award program to encourage financial education in schools.
That's awesome. I love it. Did you take any kind of finance?
I had accounting.
Accounting. Well, that's good. That was just
a pleasure trip for me.
Yeah, it was easy class.
My parents got calls all the time from that teacher.
Oh, jeez. So why'd you take it?
Big JD can't treat this class as a country club. That was the big thing.
No kidding.
Yeah, where everybody else was struggling in accounting and numbers and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I got calls about treating it as a country club.
Coming and going as you please.
I don't ever remember even pulling out a pen in that class.
Well, no, it was all business.
And this was all before computers. No, there was no such thing as a computer or business machine back then.
Back then there was business.
I don't even think there was paper. We were chipping into stone slates.
Oh, I thought. Oh, you went. Now you're going to stones. I thought you were going to go to the papyrus stuff.
No.
No.
Okay. What is it?
Papyrus.
Okay, that's even before my time.
That's what they made the rolls out of. You know, the Dead Sea Scrolls. Okay. I think are written on papyrus.
Ah, right. Yes. What else you got? I was going to say Conan bids farewell.
Yes, he does.
On Friday's show, was it right?
Friday's show. That was it. It was done. It's cool stuff. He had Tom Hanks on there, the dude from Office, Steve Carell.
Yeah.
And
Will Ferrell?
And Will Ferrell wasn't actually guest. He didn't come out.
Billy Gibbons?
Billy Gibbons was in that band as well.
Was jamming there? Did he talk to Gibbons, or was he just in the band? All of a sudden you saw Billy Gibbons on stage. Well, that's cool.
It was Billy Gibbons. Beck was on guitar.
Okay, right. Yeah.
And Ben Harper was playing the slide.
Nice. Yeah. And Neil Young.
And Neil Young played his tune all by himself, Long May You Run, which was perfect tune for Conan, kind of a really good
song. So was the Will Ferrell one, Free Bird.
Oh, Free Bird, yeah, of course.
I'm as free as a bird now. Oh, we don't have a clip?
Well, I can, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right, okay.
This will play it.
Yeah, I thought you were going to run something. We had issues this morning.
Not so much issues. We're trying to have it so that when I play audio, that it gets recorded to the show as well. But the funny thing, well, I shouldn't say the funny thing, but the sad thing was that Ben Harper had all those slide lines down pat.
That's loud.
Yeah, sorry. Well, that's the beginning of the show. So Ben Harper's got the slide lines going, but during the solo, that awesome... Down, 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 down.
Right.
You know that break there? I don't know if I can get to it. I thought Billy Gibbons would learn that part. You know what I mean?
Was Billy Gibbons doing some solo in there?
Not right now. Conan's jamming. You could tell. He's got that overbended string thing happening.
And he was plugged in for real, Conan? Because I know he does play guitar,
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And what a nice guitar he had, too.
He had one of those, is it one of those auto-tunes?
I think it's an auto-tune, yeah. It's not the robot. It's a robot to some degree, I guess. That's what the robot guitar. I'm thinking of the blue one there, the recording guitar. Every string gets recorded separately. That's really a cool setup.
Right.
But no, he's got a robot guitar, and it's very cool. I love that black silver look, man. I would take that as a secondary from All Black something or other that I'm going to eventually get again one day.
Secondary. Mm-hmm. And Will Ferrell just kills it on the cowbell.
You know what? Will Ferrell, as I was watching him sing, I'm thinking, wow, he would make a really good Jim Morrison in a film. Because he really has that Morrison voice, big time.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, for sure. He was obviously trying to look like Ronnie Van Zant.
Of course. I thought he'd go all out, though, and pull the boots off.
Why?
Was Ronnie Van Zant always was on stage in bare feet.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Like to feel the vibration of the stage under his feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Learned something.
You know who else does that? Is the chick from Heart. Anne, I'm going to say.
But the bigger one. Oh, the bigger one.
The singer.
Yeah.
The main singer, yeah. She's in bare feet all the time that you see nowadays anyways. Hmm. I don't know about the old, you know, the old videos of Heart or anything like that, but...
She was a barefootin' chick.
Yeah, I guess so. That's what you see nowadays of her in the concerts and so forth, so...
So supposedly, Jimmy Fallon is like now in the perfect spot. Because Jimmy Fallon is now doing what Conan was used to do for 16 years.
Right.
The late night
show. So he's the big contender?
Well, they're saying he's just going to sit back whenever Jay finally decides to fall off the chair and say sayonara for good, which he should have did in the first place. If you're going to go, you're going to go. When Johnny quit, he didn't say, oh, I miss it. I got to go back. No, he didn't do that. He let Jay continue on. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But Jimmy Fallon's sitting there now. And he's actually, when I first started watching him, you know, he's kind of like a geeky guy. He brings a lot of tech into the show, I notice. And he has this kind of nervous quality about him a little bit. But now, as I've started watching him again last week when I was on afternoons, come home and stay up, he's getting into a good flow now.
Mm-hmm.
He's become a much better late night talk show host for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He's fitting the bill. So they're just saying he's perfect. He's going to be sitting in that chair unless something weird happens, which could very easily happen with Jay Leno and NBC. Who knows?
Weird things happen all the time.
That's for show.
This is Big JD's grandma, and you're listening to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo.
Okay, today's topic, we're talking about the Michigan film and television industry, which has really been booming. In 2008, they received a 40% refundable tax credit across the board on expenditures.
Wow.
I guess companies must spend at least $50,000 in Michigan to be eligible.
To get your 40% back.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That just makes sure you're legit.
Right, right. So the industry's really been booming, and studios are popping up, and I've heard some things about a big animation studio in the works. I don't know how far off that is at this time. There's so much going on, and we know that, throughout... filming history, many movies and television shows have been filmed fully or partially in Michigan and in Detroit, and we can probably mention some of those. Actually, I have some by list of time. 1947, MGM film, This Time for Keeps. Okay. Now, who was in that? I don't know. Let me take a look and see it. I would imagine, yeah, it does go to the IMDb. Lorraine Fielding story, or when I see...
I'm sure the film director. Industry in 1948 wasn't quite as booming in Detroit as...
Was there even sound then?
There was sound, but maybe not color. Oh, the movie was color.
This was a musical, and I'm just looking to see the cast here. Esther Williams, okay.
Oh, there you go. She could
good
sing.
Stuff, man. She was, yeah, she sang great and made a lot of films. And Jimmy Durante... So
wow.
That's some big stuff.
What was his line? What was Jimmy Durante's line?
I can see it, but I can't.
Duh, I have no idea.
And I can hear his voice too, you know. 1959, Universal Picture, Anatomy of Murder, Where the Boys Are. In 1960, just moving a little ahead here, looking for some 1981's Continental Divide from Universal Pictures, The Evil Dead, Word of Honor, a Georgian Bay TV movie.
You're going to be getting close to Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, 1984, Beverly Hills Cop. That was filmed partially.
Yeah.
In Detroit. But Beverly Hills Cop 2, 1987. The Evil Dead 2.
Beverly Hills Cop 3 and then the Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Action Jackson.
Action Jackson.
Did you ever have one of those dolls when you were little? I had an Action Jackson.
I still got him. He's right here.
Why did I look even?
Well, that's Johnson. Action Johnson.
Jesus. Jesus. Help us. American Beauty, 1989. I'm looking for things that Roger and Me.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That was Warner Brothers movie.
That's probably one of the first Michael Moore films that actually became, that basically gave him his name. I don't know if I'm sure he must have did some work before that, but that was the one that.
And he, of course, was from Flint, Michigan, right?
He's from Flint, yeah.
1990s Die Hard 2. A lot of big movies. And sure. This is just going to get better all the time. There's I've heard something to the effect that like 30 or so films coming to Michigan.
Wow.
Some big stuff. Hellmaster. I'm not sure about that one. Renaissance Man from Touchstone. 1994. Flirting with Disaster. New Line Cinema. I'm not sure about that. Gross Point Blank, of course.
Yep.
Gross Point, Michigan. What else have we got? Stardust. Detroit Rock City, of course. And a great Kiss song. And What a Great City for Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
Alice Cooper. Well, the area, you know. Alice Cooper, sure. Iggy and the Stooges.
Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent, the Amboy Dukes. The list goes on and on. Bob Seger. Cactus. McCarty. MC5.
Kid Rock.
Yeah, it doesn't stop. Kid Rock, sure. Ty Stone. 8 Mile. Eminem.
I used to live right near 8 Mile myself.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Toughen You Up?
No. We lived right on the edge of town, and it wasn't that bad back then. Eminem's younger than I am.
Yeah. But a little older than me, so.
Who, me?
No, both you guys.
Oh, okay. What?
Four Brothers, 2005. That was one with Marky Mark, right? Mark Wahlberg?
I have no idea.
I like his movies. I like Mark Wahlberg. He's rather handsome, and he's got lots of muscles.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, I like that. Mongol King, Upside of Danger. Let's see. Crossover? I don't know. That Dribble Productions.
That sounds like a porn movie.
Oh, whoa.
Exactly.
Transformers.
What?
Transformers? Yeah, 2007. Transformers. DreamWorks Pictures, a film, I guess, partially. Gran Torino, of course.
Oh, right.
That was a big one. Recent, 2008. And what do we got in 2009? Deadheads, America, All's Fair in Love. Some of these I don't know. Hung, that's HBO.
That's a TV show, yeah.
I have an interview coming up on the show like very soon with Deborah Chanel Green, who had something to do with that. And
it's a good show. The premise is a guy is... divorced.
You told me about that. But.
He's divorced out of work and his house burnt down. And his kids want to live with him because the mother died. Or I forget exactly what happened to the mother, but anyway. And he goes about selling his body to make money. So that's the premise of that.
Pretty neat.
He becomes a prostitute of the male persuasion. Any other movies there, Big JD? Are you just scrolling lists?
I'm just looking at some TV things. Homeland Security, USA, 2009 documentary TV series that filmed at Detroit Metro Airport. Prayers for Bobby, 2009, starring Sigourney Weaver. Filmed in Royal Oak, Ferndale, Redford, and Detroit. The Prince of the Motor City, 2008, movie filmed in Detroit, Highland Park. And maybe you might be able to check out the newer show there that's filmed in Detroit. I think
Motor City Motors.
Yeah, fabricating thing there. That's pretty neat. Real Vice Cops 2008 TV series with episodes shot in Detroit, and aired on Spike in the Saint 2009 action TV series directed by Barry Levinson.
He's a comedian. Comedian is.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't get. I have a big lack of television stations that I actually get and am able to watch. I have to. My resource is the internet and Apple TV, YouTube type stuff.
Sure.
So.
What's wrong with that, bro?
Well, I'm just a little bit limited on being able to see full shows and that type of thing, but.
Motor City Motors airs on the Discovery Channel. It follows renowned fabricators and custom bike builders Dave and James Kay, founders of Detroit Brothers Custom Cycles. Watch each week as the brothers, with their father John, tap into the Detroit-based talent and assemble a team of builders and specialists. Together, they push the boundaries of automotive engineering to create one-of-a-kind vehicles with a five-day limit for each build.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the premise of that show.
And as well, and I was trying to get an interview with somebody from the film office, Michigan Film Office, and I may still, the podcast, I'm going to try and wait on the podcast going up for an extra day or two, because I still have a couple of pending interviews.
Okay.
With a Michigan production company and also with the film office. And on their website, though, they have some information about there also being an infrastructure tax credit program, as well as non-transferable, non-refundable workforce development tax credit for hiring and training current Michigan crew members to a higher level, which is fantastic stuff. And I know sure. I have an interview with the CEO and executive producer of Rollin' on Detroit as well, which she talks about some of these doing some of these things. Actually, they're in the action actually of retraining people to work in this industry. So that's really cool.
Do you want to play that now or?
Yeah, actually, what I'm going to do right now is air my interview with Deborah Chenault Green.
You're listening to another interview with Big JD right here on the Jabbercast. For more Big JD, visit www.bigjd.com. For more interviews with Big JD, visit youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
My guest, Deborah Chenault Green, has been involved in Michigan film, theater, and television for a while now. She's involved in many aspects of this great industry that's really booming in Michigan, especially due to the recent tax incentives being offered. It's allowed her to meet and work with names like Drew Barrymore, Wesley Snipes, Robin Givens, and she not only writes, acts, and directs, but she helps newcomers to the industry as well. All right, welcome to the show, Deborah. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Maybe we can start a little bit with some of the things that you've done in local film. And I know you're involved in theater as well and writing. And you've been in some films that were recently, or parts of them were shot in Michigan. I know you were extra on some films. You worked with Drew Barrymore, a film with Wesley Snipes. Can you tell us about some of these?
Yeah, it's been really great since the incentives and the films are coming here now. We've had the opportunity to get some of our actors to working. I had the opportunity to work in Drew Barrymore's Whip It, which was a blast. I also worked in a series called Hung, which was done for HBO.
Mm-hmm.
I did also America, the Rosie O'Donnell movie. That was a great film. Also, Vanishing on 7th Street, which has not been released yet. I met Wesley Snipes on Game of Death. And I also did You Don't Know Jack, about Jack Kevorkian. Those two haven't been released yet. But those are some of the movies that are coming, have come here and are coming here and giving opportunity to actors here in the city.
Yeah,
that we didn't have before, which is awesome.
Obviously, that's what our show is on today here on the Jabbercast, the incentives and the film industry, television industry in Michigan. And you did mention that you did do some work for television, HBO.
Yes, that was great. Actually, the specials were Hung, America, and the other one was You Don't Know Jack. Those were made for television. I've also done some student films with Wayne State. Wayne State has been doing some great work with their students, and they've put out some excellent work. using a lot of the actors here in the city. These things have been going on before Hollywood even came here. So we've always had great theater and great film work being done here in the city. It's just that we have more of an opportunity now to showcase what we've learned, what we have accomplished, and we're being used now. There's also an undercurrent going on now trying to get a sustainable film industry here in the city, so that, you know, because incentives come and go. So right. If the incentives leave, we want to have something here that we can count on that'll keep our people working.
Fantastic. Yeah. You're also involved with Ladies First. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, Ladies First, exciting. I did a play a couple of years ago called Affairs, which was written by this wonderful, awesome writer, Vanessa Lynn. Her thing is mystery. So even though she does plays, urban plays, it has a twist because her work is done with a little bit of mystery involved. I went to her and I did my first audition, and on my first audition, she gave me the lead role in her play, which kind of floored me, you know, which was an awesome, awesome opportunity. After we did Affairs, she met and merged with Angela Beryl Dunlap, who has been in the play business for years and years and years. And they merged and formed a company called Ladies First Entertainment. Ladies First Entertainment did their first play called Deranged in October of 2009 at the Millennium. Mm-hmm. It was a great cast, Robin Givens and Keith Washington. Great turnout. It was a huge success. They're now endeavoring to do another play coming from the 23rd to the 28th of March at the Music Hall called Church Girl. So they're doing some awesome things here in the city. They're giving actors an opportunity to work. Not just actors, though. They're also giving dancers and musicians an opportunity to work. And I really think it's fantastic. So becoming a part of Ladies First has really been a great opportunity for me.
Yeah, it's great how these opportunities really open up a lot for other artists as well. Like you mentioned, dancers and musicians and things like that. You also do directing.
I'm helping with some smaller playwrights on some things now here in the city on the level of like church plays and smaller plays. I'm helping to direct and do stage work and just giving them some, you know, some input on the things they can do to make their plays better, or, you know, writing wise and picking actors, some casting things I'm doing. So it's really a community of people helping people. You know, you get into this acting community and you go to different auditions and you go to different things and you run into some of the same people and you get a chance to network. And so when you have something that comes up, then you can help each other with the projects. I just went to an awesome show recently called In the Blood, and it was directed by a young man named Sean Rodriguez. And In the Blood sort of merged urban and classic theater together, or traditional theater together. You know, where at a time it was sort of separate. You would have urban theater on one side and you would have traditional theater on the other side. And, you know, they really didn't mix. But this particular project, it sort of mixed the two. And I really thought that was wonderful, because when you do that, you give more people a chance to work. And I thought that was awesome. So there's some great things going on here in the city now.
It takes people like yourself to help with that and help pay it forward. I mean, you're not only acting and directing and things like that, but you're helping other people. And like you say, networking, it's a lot about networking in the industry.
Oh, yeah, it's important. It's important to pay it forward. And that also opens a lot of doors up, you know, a lot of more opportunities to work with younger people. You know, I got started late in this game, and for me, it's a pleasure to help other people, you know, so they can fulfill their dreams.
What are your, do you have some future projects in the work?
Yeah, I'm working on a couple of more books. I've published a book called Back to One, I Invite You Into My Serenity. And it's a book of poetry and prose. Basically, it's a chronicles my life. I'm working on two more books. I'm also working on a couple of screenplays. I've gotten some great ideas for a couple of screenplays. So I'm trying to stay busy. You know, you get an idea and you can't get it out of your head, so you have to go with it.
You're obviously very talented, very creative, and it's great that you're helping others as well. Do you have a website or anything like that if anybody's interested in Ladies First or following maybe what you do?
Yes, I have a couple of websites for you. My personal website is www.deborah, well, I'm going to spell it out because it's kind of long, www.deborah-green.com. And also Ladies First, ENT.net. And then that way you can find out what's going on with Ladies First. They have a few things coming up. Church Girl is coming up in March, but they're also working on a huge epic play called He Lives, which is based on the life of Jesus Christ told through the eyes of Matthew. And it will be touring starting in the beginning of 2011. So, you know, you can keep up on what's going on there. Also, you know, the auditions will be posted there. So those are my two most important websites. You can find out more information about the things I'm doing and also about the things Ladies First are doing.
Publications, are they available through your website as well?
Back to One is available through my website. There's a link there where you can go right to the link and purchase the book.
Great. We really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us on the Jabbercast and share all the wonderful things that you're doing and your involvement in Michigan's theater, film, and television industry.
I appreciate you having me, JD. You have a great day.
Take care, Deborah. Thanks.
You've just listened to another interview with Big JD right here on the Jabbercast. For more Big JD, visit www.bigjd.com. For more interviews with Big JD, visit youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca. If you're in need of professional animation, look no further. Shontoon.com. That's S-H-O-N-T-O-O-N. Shontoon.com. Sean Watkins is a cartoon designer and animator. He's an extremely gifted artist specializing in 2D flash animation. From web banners to cartoons for television, Sean is ready to take your project to the next level. He's also illustrated many children's books. For the web, for television, for your business, Shontoon.com. That's S-H-O-N-T-O-O-N. Shontoon.com. An affiliate of Giggle Button Entertainment.
Okay, I also had the opportunity to talk to Jody Harker, who is the CEO and executive producer of Rollin' on Detroit, rollinondetroit.com, and we can go ahead and air that interview as well.
Okay.
You're listening to another interview with Big JD right here on the Jabbercast. For more Big JD, visit www.bigjd.com. For more interviews with Big JD, visit youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca. Rollin' On is the brainchild of executive producer Jody Harker. Jody was an executive recruiter in the automotive industry for 16 years and, like so many, was hit hard by the industry's economic crisis and downsizing. Here to discuss Rollin' On, the company, the reality TV show, and the Michigan film and television industry, please welcome Jody to the Jabbercast. Hi, Jody.
Hi, Big JD.
First, maybe you can tell us a little bit about your automotive background. You were a recruiter for 16 years?
Yes, I owned a recruiting company called HES Engineering Services and primarily recruited mid to upper level management in Tier 1 automotive. I'm an engineer and I have a degree in marketing.
Okay, and now let's talk a little bit about the film and television industry that's getting bigger all the time in Michigan, apparently due to the incentives. The tax incentives that are now available. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. We in Michigan, we have a 42% tax incentive, and it has opened up a huge field for Michigan workers here, and it's very, very exciting. This year, we are to have over 30 films shot in Michigan, primarily over the summer. It's very exciting, and there are so many people who are going through the schools and getting trained in this industry and really looking for a break to get in and be a part of this, what we call the Hollywood of the Midwest.
That large of a tax incentive is a great thing. And now you have an incredible vision, and this is your idea to start Rolling On. Can you tell us a little bit about what Rolling On is and the initial steps maybe that you took to get this started?
Sure. Well, Rolling On is a transformational reality show about transforming Michigan workers into film and television crews. And how this came about was, as a recruiter, I'm also a career coach, and I did some pro bono work out at different churches. And so many people had been downsized in the automotive industry, and we'd hear about all these studios coming in and all these potential jobs. And my people that would come to my career groups, as well as my candidates in recruiting, would say, how do I get into this? I want to do this so much. And then they started taking the No Worker Left Behind money and started getting that training from the different schools. And I had also got a scholarship to do some leadership work. And through that, I started networking with people who are in the local film industry. And I started asking them about, what does it take for people who do have no film experience and maybe some training from a lot of these schools, how do they break in? And they told me that it's primarily relationship-based. Okay. And networking, and it's who you know, and once you get in on a film or a television show, you build your network, and then those people refer you to the next project. And that is the core of my training as a career coach, is professional networking. I was really trying to tool these people into the right avenues, but they were just getting stopped and just not breaking in. And so I had to be friends with a couple people who had produced some things locally. And I bounced this idea off them. I said, what if there was a reality show about what it actually takes to become a cameraman, a grip, a gaffer, breaking into the industry, and what that transformation is for somebody from Michigan who's been downsized? What if we were the ones to actually provide that first experience for them and film them as they go through it and actually give people that opportunity? It was received very, very well. I started doing casting calls. I had over 400 people come to the casting calls looking that were the best story of what's happened to them, with what's happened in Michigan, losing their homes. Maybe their families had all moved up here from Kentucky after the war, and they were three generations of automotive workers, and or people who have been, even people who have been like since they've been 18 years old, just knocking on doors and auditioning and taking side jobs, just trying to break into this industry. I was just so impacted with how amazing these people that were coming to the casting calls and how badly they wanted to be a part of this. After that, I started identifying producers, directors, crew, and we started building the show from that.
Sounds incredible. Now, the show itself, I guess you're mentoring these displaced workers. Can you tell me a little bit about the show, how the show works? I guess you actually follow these mentored workers as they're breaking into this business?
Yes, we call them talent, and these are people that primarily have no experience in the film and television industry. They may have had some training through Specs Howard or whatever, but they've never actually had a paying gig. We take them in from all walks of life, and we have a mentor who's experienced in the film and television industry who sets them out and has them go work on actual projects that we have. The projects are covering different people and community that is promoting and transforming Detroit.
It's a great concept, a great idea. I guess these mentored workers will meet all kinds of challenges through the show. And
oh, yeah. We go back into like what their life was like, but, you know, prior to whether they were downsized or what their previous career was or what their passions are. And then so you get a background look at who they are and what they're truly committed to and how passionate they are about being in this industry. Also, you get a look at what it actually takes to be in film and television. It's passionate and the people are so creative and it's an amazing experience.
It sounds like it, and I know you've poured your heart and soul into this and it's beginning to pay off. Now, you guys got quite a bit of media interest. You've done numerous interviews. You've been on TV with this and you have a podcast coming up about Rolling On. Can you tell us what kind of media interest that you've gotten?
We've had interviews on Fox and ABC affiliates. We just did an interview for Eye Opener Television. We are talking weekly with CNN, who is bringing a crew in to cover what we're up to. We've been all over the radio stations. We are in touch with Oprah's producers, and it just keeps, every week, it just keeps growing from there.
Now, if any listeners, anybody locally is interested in getting in touch with Rolling On, what's the best way to do that? You guys have an email address, perhaps?
Yes, they should reach us at info@rollingondetroit.com.
Okay, great. And I know in my research that you guys are in the process of revamping your website. So, you know, anybody that's interested in checking that out, I know you guys have a new website coming out soon. Like I mentioned, you have a podcast coming up.
We're also creating a trailer right now. So that's exciting as well.
Great. So the next big thing to come is going to be the pilot episode of Rolling On, the reality TV show. We really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us on the Jabbercast, Jody.
No problem. Thank you, Big JD.
You've just listened to another interview with Big JD right here on the Jabbercast. For more Big JD, visit www.bigjd.com. For more interviews with Big JD, visit youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
I was able to interview Rob Krajanki, who is the founder of ITV Group, a Michigan-based media and production company. So we're going to roll that for you now.
You're listening to another interview with Big JD right here on the Jabbercast. For more Big JD, visit www.bigjd.com. For more interviews with Big JD, visit youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
From broadcast to broadband, ITV Group is an affordable video production company in Michigan that combines creativity with good business sense. Today, I had the opportunity to speak with Rob Krajanki, founder of ITV Group. All right, Rob, welcome to the Jabbercast.
Thanks, Big JD. It's great to be here.
So let's talk a little bit first about when you started the ITV Group. How did that come about?
I was helping to lead a multimedia team at AT&T. We were providing incentives for corporations to get larger connections for more bandwidth. And so we were helping them understand multiplexing technology so they could have one big connection and run video and data and internet and long distance all across one connection. And so when AT&T went from $76 in stock down to $16, they cut a lot of their leading edge programs. And so I took that training and experience with me and founded ITV Group to provide website, graphic, and video services to business clients. That was probably around 2001.
I see that you offer a lot more things than just video production.
besides videography, cinematography, and editing and so forth, but web design, web hosting, graphic arts, and things like that. What are the bulk of services that you do provide?
Among those, we do provide pre-production services, editorial services. We also provide on-screen talent. Right now, we're just starting to offer internet marketing as well as high-end 3D animation, like After Effects.
Right. It sounds like what you guys do is offer from start to finish for a company that's interested in anything to do with video and their web presence and everything that they need done.
But we do. We handhold you from the beginning all the way to the end through any multimedia production. We like to provide a big budget look and feel at a lower budget price.
Great. Maybe we can discuss some of the clients that you've serviced?
Sure. Most of our clients are Michigan clients. Mm-hmm. However, we have serviced some fairly large blue chip brands in the past. I worked with AT&T after I left. I also have worked with Lamborghini. I've worked with Major League Baseball for the All-Stars. They did an All-Star game here in Michigan a few years ago. And we did a piece for the Hall of Fame, too. We were involved in that project. And then when the Super Bowl came to town, Super Bowl host committee assigned ITV Group to the Don Shula events in Detroit. And so we worked with them. We've also worked with Snoop Dogg and Tradewinds Aviation. And we did work with MTV on an MTV True Life series. And we also did some work for the Food Network with their celebrity hostess. Those are probably the larger clients that we have on our client list.
Yeah, that's an impressive client list. You know, we're talking on the show today about the Michigan tax incentives that came about, I guess, in 2008, actually, right?
Yes.
I know these incentives are more geared toward fairly large companies because I know the amount of money that has to be spent to gain these tax incentives is rather large. But, you know, what's your take on the incentives and your opinion on how these incentives are actually helping film and television in Michigan, or not?
It's a complicated and political question. Mm-hmm. However, it's a wonderful thing that Michigan and Detroit are getting, you know, the focus of the industry as a place to come and to not have all the red tape to cut through. We're providing the best incentives in the country, or at least among the best. And so for people to get excited about a new industry, that's really important in the economic climate that Michigan and especially Detroit is undergoing right now. The incentives primarily help the Hollywood or the large filmmakers because they come in and they get to save a lot of money. It does put some Michiganders to work, production assistants and location scouts and things of that nature. But as a film industry here in Michigan, we're still underdeveloped and under... we don't have enough talent to support the rigorous production schedules and the technical knowledge that's required to work with those size of teams. So we've been happy that the state has come forward and provided all kinds of education dollars for Michigan people to redefine themselves and get the skills through the schools that are popping up.
Mm-hmm.
So really look forward to the growth in this industry. My understanding is that the registration of projects that benefited from these incentives last year, as opposed to this year, is about a 300% increase. So it's one of the only industries in Michigan that's really growing quickly, like has all of that wildfire type passion and excitement and bringing people to the table that want to get involved and help it stabilize here.
So what would your opinion be on how this could be maybe better for other companies as well, maybe smaller companies that aren't putting up the kind of dollars that Hollywood actually would? And do you see that maybe changing in the future? Is there any indication that that is something that may be offered to the smaller company?
Well, I think what's going to happen at first is that we do have a lot of video production here. We had a lot of video production for the automotive industry. So we have talented video people. They're just not necessarily filmmakers or used to working in the studio system. So there will be a conversion. These video people have to do something. So I think as their skills translate, you'll see post-production effects houses and titling and graphics houses. And since our industry isn't as large and developed in that area, I think the price points are going to start out a lot lower, which will provide an attractive incentive for the people that are coming to Michigan to work their budgets and to try and benefit from all that we offer here. We'll find these companies and start to use them and grow them and build them into their networks. And so I think that indirectly there's a good opportunity there, and hopefully the legislation and other consciousness, development consciousness, will find ways to improve our you know, the people in Michigan that are have video production companies and experience.
Right, and it seems it's headed that way now, so that's a good thing. And
yeah.
So what projects might ITV Group be involved in presently?
Well, ITV Group is also a web hosting company, so we're always involved in trying to build websites and internet delivery solutions for content. So we have a variety of those that we're involved in right now. We're working on a project right now that's state-funded. That's the largest focus that we have right now. We're probably about maybe 4 or 5 days away from being ready to pitch. So we're excited about that. It's to help people here in Michigan that are struggling with self-sufficiency to find all of the funds and agencies and nonprofits and philanthropists that are established to provide these benefits, and the people just don't know they exist.
Right. That's got to be difficult in itself, is just getting through all the red tape to get to a point where you are aware of all the services and different things that are available.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So there's lots of it out there, but the people who need it the most seem to be the people who are the least aware of it.
That's a great service, and that probably ties into my next question, and that's the future of ITV Group. And I sort of asked you this already about, you know, changes to legislature for smaller production companies and things like that, but are there other things that you see in the future that may be beneficial to add to ITV Group, different kinds of media, things like that?
That's a great question. Our focus right now for growth and development is primarily in like cinematic titling, cinematic trailers, post-production compositing, creating visual effects that are quick and low cost but have high impact, taking advantage of all the new technology and all the different ways now that people with budgets under $1 million can really access a lot of the same visual effects that budgets over $1 million used to have. So I think there's a pretty big niche that's growing for post-production in that area with all the independent filmmakers that are popping up. You know, they can write great scripts and they can get all kinds of enthusiastic talent and they can create interesting products, but they may lack some of the technology and resources to do the dynamic visual effects component. And that comes with, you know, post-production compositing. It's an intricate process of creating organic effects like rain and fire and destructive elements and explosions and smoke. And, you know, those types of things are extremely expensive if you do them mechanically, but you can do them extremely cost-effectively if you do them inside a computer or in the digital domain. Right. And so we're excited about the growth here with independent filmmakers, and we think that that will be the direction that we're investing in right now.
Well, obviously, ITV Group is an excellent advantage for anyone in the film and television industry to be involved with, and for anybody that would be interested in that, how do they get in touch with you or ITV Group?
Well, our website is itvgroup.com, and all of our contact information is available there, as well as samples of work and descriptions of services.
All right, great stuff, Rob. I really appreciate your time here on the Jabbercast.
All right, Big JD, great fan, great work. Keep it all up. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Rob.
You've just listened to another interview with Big JD right here on the Jabbercast. For more Big JD, visit www.bigjd.com. For more interviews with Big JD, visit youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
I also had the opportunity to speak to local Michigan film producer Ed Gardner. Let's roll that interview, Lippo.
You're listening to another interview with Big JD right here on the Jabbercast. For more Big JD, visit www.bigjd.com. For more interviews with Big JD, visit utalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number two, me, utalkingtome.ca. Ed Gardner is a powerful presence in the Detroit film and television industry. He's a local film producer and is also currently running Starbright Studios production facility. He's also my guest on the Jabbercast. Please welcome Ed Gardner to the Jabbercast. Ed, how are you?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me.
Let's start off by talking a little bit about some of the things that you have going on. You're a local film producer. What's happening right now with you and the Michigan film and television industry?
Well, I've got a feature film that's kind of hovering, waiting to get its funding, and when it comes through, I'll be line producing that here locally. It's actually a Hollywood film, a low-budget slasher film. And then I'm also putting together a producer school right now with one of the local agencies, Casting Motor City in Southfield, which is Kathy McKee's company. And she's gone ahead and set up her company as a proprietary school under the state of Michigan, and asked me to put together a course for her school on producing. And it's been my contention for a while that what we're lacking here locally is people who know how to produce. Everybody seems to want to be a director. And without the producers, nobody does anything. So I've been thinking for a while about, okay, how can I generate more producers locally so that we can actually grow the local film scene and not be so dependent on people coming here from out of state.
You're very busy in Michigan in this industry, and there's so many things I want to mention. One thing, actually, too, is about a show that you did in the past, In Zero.
Yeah, I did In Zero, let's see, it's been 4 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And I was coming off a feature film that I did called The Passenger, and as we were wrapping it up and all of our people were dispersing, we were strategizing about how we could keep our team together and how we could actually grow them and meet more people and what kind of project could we do that would, you know, really build a community of filmmakers. And we came up with the idea of doing an episodic sci-fi TV show. Sci-fi because we love sci-fi. Mm-hmm. And episodic because we felt that it gave us more reach, both creatively, because, you know, it's an ongoing process and you've got a long time to develop ideas and, you know, and inside the storyline to develop stories and characters and all that. And we felt it would be a better test of our capabilities. I mean, our goal wasn't to produce a product that we could sell so much as it was to hone our craft. And in the process, build a large team of people that we could go on to do other projects with. And so that's what we did. We developed a 12-episode storyline, and we designed it to be webisodes, although they kept getting longer and longer. What we originally thought was going to be 15-minute episodes actually turned into 30 to 45-minute episodes by the second episode. And we ended up with 150 people on the project at any given time. And the project went on for a year. We did one episode a month for a year. And at any given time, once we were like three episodes into it, we had four or five episodes in various stages of pre-production, post-production. It was a great test of our abilities. We met a lot of great people. We got a lot of good feedback from it. And we even got to show it to Sam Raimi when he was here to get the Governor's Award a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And he talked about it for about 5 minutes on stage and said how much he liked it and what a good example it was of what you could do with the current low-budget technology, you know, digital filmmaking.
Right.
People coming together and making something that was a passion project, not something designed to be for money.
And now, I know that there are clips around on the internet, and I've seen some on YouTube myself, but is this something that's available to the public right now, or has a
package? We have DVDs mm-hmm. for sale of the 12 episodes. You know, people can contact me, I can give them a DVD. And it does screen occasionally on cable. I know the Comcast cable locally screens it occasionally on their sci-fi show. But it isn't available through any retail distributors at this time.
You're pretty well versed in what's happening with the tax incentives here in Michigan, and I'm sure you've done quite a bit of research on that and directly involved with these things. So maybe you can talk a little bit about how you see these incentives and how well they may be working in Michigan and who they may be working so well for, because obviously there's a certain amount of money that needs to be spent to be able to get these tax credits. So how does that work for Michigan, and do you see that the future of that for the smaller company? Is there going to be some kind of future in that? How do you see that panning out?
I think they're working. I think the fact that we have so many movies shooting here right now, I believe we have like 60 or 70 movies who've applied to shoot this coming year, and I think we had 36 last year.
Wow.
And for the most part, these have not been big budget movies. I mean, Red Dawn was the biggest budget one we had, and that was about $40 million, I believe. And I just read this morning in the Free Press that Steven Spielberg production is bringing a movie here with Hugh Jackman called Real Steel, I believe it is. It's a sci-fi movie with Hugh Jackman and Steven Spielberg producing, and it's going to be a $80 million budget, which will make it the biggest movie to come so far since the incentives were passed.
Right.
Now, obviously, before the incentives, we had The Island and we had Transformers, and you know, those were bigger budgets. But I think it's interesting because people, you know, it's a very controversial topic. You know, everybody's lining up on various sides about it, and there's a lot of people bashing them, and people say, well, why are we giving money to Hollywood millionaires? And you know, I was talking to some other film crew people about this, and we were laughing about it, because if you look at your average film crew, and or you look at any of the movies that have been here, you could probably count the number of millionaires that have been here so far on one hand.
Right.
You know, and it's just not the case. I mean, you know, film crews range in size from 50 to 300 people, depending on the size of the movie. And these are working class people. I mean, guys on a film crew, girls on a film crew, these are people wearing blue jeans and, you know, working 10, 12, 18-hour days, and they do this for a living. Now, it's a different business than an industrial business, because you don't have a 9-to-5 or a, you know, 5-day work week. You pretty much have projects, and while you're on a project, you might work 12 to 18 hours a day for 6 weeks straight, and then you might be off for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Until you find your next project. So it's a different rhythm, but it's still very much a working class environment. I mean, it's like being on a construction project, if you could use an analogy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that you're giving money to millionaires is absurd. And as a producer who's done lots of film budgets, a lot of the money you're spending on a movie isn't spent on the crew. It's spent buying things to use in the movie.
Sure, local businesses and things like that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
You know, I mean, Home Depot is a big beneficiary. You know, art supply stores, places where you buy props, furniture stores,
sure,
fabric stores, you know, hotels, restaurants. I mean, everybody on a film crew sleeps someplace and they eat someplace.
Exactly, yeah. And even if in the beginning some of the money's going to Hollywood millionaires or whatever, they're coming to Michigan, so there's that trickle-down effect anyway, and it's got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, and the other thing that's been happening is, you know, we knew when the incentive started that at first they were going to bring most of their own people,
sure,
with them from other places. And, you know, there's a spread in the incentives. If they bring people in, they get a 30% incentive versus 40 if they hire here.
Right, okay.
And, you know, and that's not much of a spread, but it helps.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken us some time to build the crew base that we need to convince them to hire locally. And it isn't just a matter of having people with the technical skills so much as it is having people here who have the relationships with the people that can get them on the set. And that's a trust factor more than anything. And, you know, it's like anything. You got a $40 million baby. You're not going to trust it to an unknown babysitter. You're going to want some references. You're going to want to know that somebody else has used them.
Sure.
And, you know, and now that we're 2 years into it, you know, people are coming and they're using the people that have worked on other projects, and they're listening to the people they've used who are recommending other people. And we've got some schools spring up, and they're training people, and those people are starting to get some experience. And, you know, it's all good. It's all developing in an organic fashion the way it would, the way it did in Arizona, the way it did in New Mexico, the way it did in Louisiana.
Yeah, and you can see how big of a part networking plays in this whole thing. So
yeah. And we've developed way faster than those other states are. A Movie Maker magazine just came out with a list of the 10 best cities mm-hmm. to live and make movies in, and Detroit was number 8. Now, you could say, oh, well, you're only number 8, but, you know, I think it's amazing that we're even on that list, because 2 years ago, we wouldn't have been on that list.
Obviously, Detroit, for media and arts and entertainment, so many things have come out of Detroit, so yeah. It doesn't surprise me even really. Now, tell me a little bit about Starbright Studios.
Well, Starbright Studios is in the Russell Industrial Center. It's about a 10,000 square foot space. It has a lot of amenities. It's a large room, about 6,500 square feet, with a number of smaller rooms. We have a full editing suite. We have post-production capability. We have a 40-foot psych wall that we can use for video or photography. We have a stage that we can use for live performances or for music video shoots, theater rehearsals, live theater, like that. We also have a movie house. We have about a 3,000 square foot room that is a movie theater that seats about 200. So it's kind of a multifaceted space. And what's great about it is that being in the Russell Industrial Center, there is around 300 artists here. There's about a half dozen film companies. There's about a dozen photographers, set builders, prop builders. There's about a half dozen fashion designers and sewing production companies. So there's all kinds of resources here that a filmmaker could use. And that's one of the reasons we located it here. And, you know, we're designing it as a small production facility for indie filmmakers. We do a lot of screenings here in the movie theater, so I've had a lot of filmmakers come in and use the screening facilities and have a party for the cast and crew, and, you know, that kind of thing. It's a sandbox in the community.
So if there are any filmmakers or anybody else that would be interested in getting a hold of you, how would they do that?
The best way is to email me. I can be reached at ed_gardiner, GARDINER. @yahoo.com. That's the best way. And
okay.
You know, they can call me too. My phone number is 586-917-6119.
Is that the same contact information they would get a hold of you if anybody's interested in the In Zero DVDs?
Yeah.
Ed, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us on the Jabbercast.
All right.
You've just listened to another interview with Big JD right here on the Jabbercast. For more Big JD, visit www.bigjd.com. For more interviews with Big JD, visit youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number 2, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
Fix for some cool music? Check out Mike LaPlante's Border City Radio podcast. Visit www.bordercityradio.com or search Border City Radio at the iTunes Store. Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig. Brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
We're still right. Streaming?
We're still.
We're back? What happened?
Nothing happened. Everything's cool.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that Border City Radio. I heard he just put one out last March.
Yeah. What's up with that? Anything
There's nothing
in the
up
works?
With that. No, there's nothing. Nothing's going on with that. So you can maybe put that ID somewhere in a folder.
Alrighty.
Somewhere in the archives.
But there's our shows available. There's a website, Border City Radio Podcast.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
BorderCityRadio.com. So, you know, there's lots of music on there possibly that people might not have heard. And, we'll all wait for another show.
Oh yeah. Don't hold your breath.
What do you got for us on Sunday Morning Music Mayhem this week?
Something that we would never play on Border City Radio.
Why wouldn't we? On Border City Radio.
Yeah.
You mean that? Okay. Right.
This is a song that was on, Ozzy Osbourne's first
Blizzard of Oz
solo album, and it's Randy Rhoads at his best. It's called No Bone Movie. It's. I'm almost thinking that a lot of that was recorded live, just because they put the stuff at the beginning and the end of it. And there's a kind of a live.
Well, things are always recorded live in the beginning.
In the beginning, usually they.
I mean, everything is recorded live. I mean, it's multi-track, so people can talk, people can say things, and you can just leave that stuff in on anybody's track.
Sure,
so,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, here I am. I was like, yeah, hey, what's up, man? And the mic's over here.
Okay, maybe
slide down on me.
Sure, what you say is certainly. It just has a certain live feel to it, and that song's all about porn movies. We were talking about the whole porn deal. So it's he's got an addiction to porn.
Hey, no pun intended. Addiction. Rolling on.
Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and string and cans. We cover it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, this
coming at you in mono. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, we are coming in.
What do you want to talk about? I got a little something to talk about too, and I meant to give you a couple video clips so that you could play, but I don't know how that would have worked anyway. So go ahead.
I was just going to talk about Apple. This past week announced that they're going to have an event on Wednesday of this following week, and everybody is anticipating that they're going to come out with a tablet.
And what, you take two before bedtime? How's that work?
Well, depending on what your symptoms are, no. It's a computing tablet, as it were. And everybody's thinking it's just going to be a big iPhone or a big iPod Touch. The whole, is it going to have 3G? There's so many different speculations as far as what's going on there. And another thing I want to mention was Apple supposedly is in talks with Bing to have them replace Google with the Bing search engine on like, they're going to take Google off the phone, basically, to be the default search engine.
Bing!
That's interesting. I checked out Bing's maps because someone, I was listening to a podcast and they said their maps were pretty good. And I have to admit, they're pretty good maps.
We're losing another one to a Microsoft product.
No. I'm typing on a Microsoft keyboard. I love my keyboard.
I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so and you said you had some tech talk as well, brother.
I wanted to just mention what Marshall announced at NAMM.
Marshall Kuen?
Marshall amps, JMD, the new JMD amps.
What's
JMD
that one? Technology. I'm just kidding.
It is technology. Of course, it's all it's about is Marshall amps and Gibson guitars. Is there's you know, technology doesn't matter without them, nor does it exist without them. But what this amp is a new digital Marshall. That of course it's still a tube Marshall. The JDM one series. Is launching with the following models: the JDM 100 100 watt head, a 50 watt head, a 100 watt 212 combo, and a 50 watt 112 combo. And you can actually dial in different Marshall sounds from different Marshalls. So it's like having a whole bunch of Marshalls in one.
That's coming from Marshall because there's every amp company now has modeling based.
Well, sure,
sounds.
But this
and
is
Marshall is one of them, you know, and
specifically
from Marshall.
Yeah.
So they know the specs.
And I'm still waiting for Marshall to release some kind of a software plugin at some point in time. I think this is the transition to that, maybe.
Obviously.
But this is so cool. And all these sounds are modeled just as a plugin would be.
Right.
And put into one amp. Combine state-of-the-art digital preamp technology with studio quality effects and sheer EL34 valve power. And working in close partnership with a Swedish software house, Softube, the Marshall team have created what they call the latest evolutionary benchmark in hybrid amplifiers that picks up where the JMP1 left off, which was the Marshall MIDI rack unit.
Okay.
Amplifier, a preamp.
I wasn't familiar with the JMP.
Oh, very cool. I would have loved to have one of those. I actually had the Marshall rack preamp, the analog one.
Okay.
And I always wanted the other one, and then they quit making it. So I was thinking actually switching over to the pedal, because if I go get away with carting around the pedal, the jackhammer, to get the Marshall sound, and going through my amp-simmed direct box, I would have a Marshall. With two little things in my hand,
right.
Which would be sweet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And still having that real Marshall product, because that's the thing for me is that
obviously.
If I'm going to record with a software amp, I don't want, you know, Amplitudes look alike, sound alike Marshall. I want the real deal. So I have to wait for the actual plugin, but this is really cool. And this is what I'd really dig this, JMD1 thing, man. I would love to have, the single 12 or 212, combo even. To just slay the best of both worlds. Slay. Being able to cart it around easily and, you know, that kind of thing, as opposed to having the cabinets and everything. And that's what I'm all about, man. And the other thing is that what's really cool that I was looking into lately is getting an all-digital wah pedal. So there's no switch, no click, no chance of leaving it on by accident. You take your foot off, it's off.
No killing the battery.
Well, the battery is, if you forget to keep your cord plugged in, you're still going to kill your battery. Right. But how cool is that?
Who makes those?
There's quite a few of them, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to look into that
myself. I have a really sweet, well, the you have a Dunlop from me, actually, the Supercry.
Oh, yeah, I got like three wah pedals, but then one
that one is
that.
Really sweet. It's got a great sweep on it. It's got a really good pot. And
then I got the RMC, the Real McCoy, which is a hand-built wah from Jeffrey Teese, which is just amazing, incredible. It's programmable and the whole shebang.
Pro. It's pro.
It is. It's very cool. But it's still the switch, still parts that could wear out, still forgetting to leave it on during a song, I mean. Yeah. You know what I mean? So your chords are all affected somehow. And, right. You know.
Yeah. I sound all trebly for some reason.
But these new things are really, really cool. Behringer actually makes one for $29. Of course, Behringer's stuff is all plastic, though. You know, the case is plastic and everything. So
it's
not
pro.
Right. It's not necessarily pro, but they're kind of like the maybe a semi-pro consumer style thing. Walmart, $29.99 in Detroit for the Behringer digital wah with no wear outable parts, like basically.
Walmart sells a wah pedal.
It's online. I mean, Boss makes one for $130, and it includes presets. You can have a few different presets in it. It's got other effects in it, including like fuzz and distortion and things like that. And it's a wah pedal, man. And it's just, this stuff is amazing. It's so cool.
So you can have your wah sound different.
And eat it too. Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah, you can have different wah sounds. You can program it to have different, you know, different sweeps and different travel on the pedal and things like that. Like, it has three programmable settings, actually.
Wow.
And you hold on the back long enough, it'll go into that mode so you can flick through your thing, and then you have the next for your next tune or however that's going to work for you. And also with the effect settings and everything. So at the end of the pedal also has some knobs on it to, you know, change everything.
Wow.
You take your foot off and it's off, put your foot on and it's just on. You know what I mean? So there's no click. There's no leaving it on by accident. It's how cool is that?
So it senses pressure.
And I'm a wah freak. It doesn't necessarily... it does sense, because as soon as that thing's touched in any way, it's just on by some kind of a...
Right.
I don't know, a digital...
Sensor.
Sensor. Yeah. Whatever that is exactly.
Yes,
I don't know.
Big JD is a wah freak.
Ever cool? And the JMD, Marshall JMD amps. Wow. Next step to the plug-in. Got to have one somehow.
You need to start generating a paycheck, mister.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I have,
or you can do the scan a rim shot.
I have to deprogram is what I have to do.
What was that?
That was the JDBC, Jeffrey David's Blues Connection, a rehearsal of You Go Your Way, I'll Go Mine, and we caught a little bit of that wah guitar.
Oh,
the Jeffrey
Teese
pedal.
That's what you're...
Just happened to have it on there. And that was a movie file I dragged into the cart machine. I wanted to check that out. That's pretty cool. So it just plays the audio.
Just works.
And this week's Jabber Quote brought to us by
Steve and Larry, fine purveyors of new digital wah pedals, only $39.99. They bought them at Walmart and they're selling them for $10 more, but that's okay.
Because they're better than the Behringer.
Go patronize Steve and Larry in the corner of Wabash and Strabane in beautiful Burbank, California.
You know, you look for the quotes on something like the film industry or anything, and you get quotes on filming and quotes on production and those kinds of things. So
I'll film for some for you.
We'll take one here that's an original Big JD quote, and that's, why go west when you can do it at home, eh?
Why go west when you can
that's
go
right. Why go to Hollywood when you can do it right here in Detroit?
Right here? I'm not in Detroit.
Yes, you are. We're at the Detroit studio.
I don't feel like I'm in Detroit.
But I had a couple that were had something to do with the opportunity and you know, job creation, that sort of thing, that sort of fits into that kind of category, which is something also that's all about. And sure. One is Ernest Hemingway. Never mistake motion for action.
Never mistake motion for action. So you can be in motion, but yet not be in action?
That's right.
Hmm.
Just because you're moving and doing stuff doesn't mean you get really getting anywhere.
Right.
So
that doesn't sound good for rolling on Detroit. So is rolling emotion or is it action?
It's action.
Okay.
Action and motion. That's right. And also by him, being busy isn't the same as accomplishing something. So that's the takeoff thing there.
We know that.
That's another version of that. And then also Vince Lombardi. Now, he's the guy that sang Auld Lang Syne on...
he's a football coach for Green Bay a long time ago.
Oh, okay. Having him mistaked with Guy Lombardi.
Guy, right. Guy and Vince. Maybe they were brothers. Who knows?
Lombardo and Lombardi.
Oh, Lombardo, right.
That's right. The quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their chosen field of endeavor.
Yes, of course. So
there you go on that one.
Self-evident.
Another one by him, and this is really good, and it's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get up.
That's right.
So we'll leave everybody with that, just to let you know what's coming up on next week's show. We have the, I believe it's the gay show.
What?
So for 1 week, Lippo and I are going to be gay. We're going to hit the streets.
No, we're not.
January 31st, gays, are you homophobic? Why? We talk about gay pride, parades, and rights, and we talk about stereotypes, including the gay lisp, and discuss terms such as homosocial, heteroflexible, and we'll have some live demonstrations on the show next week, and metrosexual, and closeted. I've been closeted far too long.
I don't think you've been doing a good job.
It's time to come out. So...
Well, thanks a lot for listening, everybody. It's been a pretty good show.
Oh, and once again, we'd like to thank all of the guests we've had on the show today.
Thanks a lot, JD, for compiling those interviews. They're very interesting, and hopefully maybe even help somebody to get into that field.
That's what it's all about, paying it forward. We'll see everybody next week.
See ya.
Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email Big JD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved in shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.